twice about that.
That would be far more common, right?
Yeah.
That'll be far more common choice than this'll.
Uh-huh. Or those'll.
Those
or diesel?
Maybe.
Well, that's worried about diesels and diesels.
They sound so weird standalone, but as part of a sentence, they sound normal.
Well, I'd be real curious to know what other parents of students in your classroom or other parents who are listening might have to say.
Maybe,
about
but
that.
I just want to reassure you, Jason, that no harm is being done here.
All right, I'm going to have to accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your daughters are going to have to admit that dad's maybe not quite so goofy.
I better correct you that it's a daughter and a son, or they'll be really mad at me.
Oh.
All right.
You have to know twins come in all forms.
Yes, absolutely they do. We'll tell your children we said hello and congratulate them on having a father who cares and pays attention to their schoolwork.
Thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Take care now. Bye-bye. 877-929-9673. Email words@waywardradio.org.
Here's a cool Latin word, latibulum. It means a hiding place or a den of animals, a refuge. And latibulum comes from the same word that gives us latent, you know, something that's kind of hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I got excited about this word was because it seems like so many times when I find a cool Latin word like that, you can also find in the 17th and 18th century that people have adopted it into English. And the word is latibulate.
Oh, so they did, but
yeah,
it just didn't catch on.
It didn't catch, you know, it's obsolete now. But latibulate, according to a 1623 dictionary, means privily to hide oneself in a corner.
Privily to hide oneself in the corner.
Yeah, I'm going to go to that party, but I'm going to latibulate.
Fantastic.
877-929-9673. Thanks to senior producer Stephanie Levine, director Colin Tedeschi, editor Tim Felton, and production assistant Caitlin O'Connell.
You can send us a message, subscribe to the podcast, get the newsletter, or catch up on hundreds of past episodes at waywardradio.org.
Our toll-free line is always open in the U.S. and Canada, 877-929-9673. Or send us your thoughts to words@waywardradio.org.
Away with Words is an independent production of Wayward Inc., a nonprofit supported by listeners and organizations who are changing the way the world talks about language.
We're coming to you from the Recording Arts Center at Studio West in San Diego, California.
Thanks for listening. I'm Grant Barrett.
And I'm Martha Barnett. Until next time, goodbye.
Bye.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy, so we show them how, and we tell them, with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids need to know the dangers and how to avoid them. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids, because when you talk, they hear you.
From New York, Rock Raider.
Yeah, yeah, 1-2, Total Eclipse.
From Executioners, and we chilling on WRCT.
Word up. Pittsburgh representing 88.3 FM.
Check it out.
Dial. Aight. Peace.
WRCT Pittsburgh. No one is as excited about flaming cheese as we are.
Yo, there's only 6 degrees of separation, and we know 5 people you know. How much longer did you really think you could avoid strict flow? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. Like this!
Moving Day. A Walk for Parkinson's is happening around the country this spring. More than just a walk, Moving Day is a fun and exciting fundraising experience that unites the community in the fight against Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's doesn't stop, and neither will we. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register for an event in your area at movingdaywalk.org. That's movingdaywalk.org.
KIX Morning News Update. Mark's promise to rewrite rock history was prematurely and tragically interrupted last night when an overwhelming power surge totally destroyed Carnegie Hall and blacked out the entire city. Survivors described the destruction as evil, spooky, and wow, bad karma, man. Our cameras are on the scene. We'll be right back.
my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
I want to start today with something that many of us at this point intuitively probably understand, and something that's also been made explicit by the FBI and other law enforcement agencies over the last year or two, which is that at this point in time for the United States, without saying anything about times past necessarily, right now, the U.S. is facing way more domestic terror threats as foreign terror threats. There's a very interesting Newsweek article about this, which says the U.S. is facing far more domestic terror threats than those from international parties, according to the FBI. Timothy Langan, assistant director of the Bureau's counterterrorism division, told lawmakers Wednesday that the U.S. is approaching more than 2,700 domestic terrorism threats. The number of international terror threats is under 1,000. Langan also gave statistics on terrorism-related deaths in the U.S. from 2015 to 2020. There were 80 reported international terrorism-related deaths, compared with 83 deaths linked to domestic terrorism. Langan's testimony follows FBI Director Christopher Wray's statements to Congress earlier this month, when he said the number of domestic terrorism cases has exploded in the last year and a half. A recent AP poll found more Americans are concerned about threats from extremist groups based in the U.S. as opposed to those from other countries. 65% of U.S. adults report being extremely or very concerned about domestic group threats, compared with 50% feeling the same about foreign extremist groups. There's a couple things here. One is it's really common that people's fear of things is often out of line with the actual danger of that thing. We see this with vaccine stuff, right? There are lots of people who are afraid of COVID, but this movement of people afraid of the vaccine, when really it's COVID you should be much more afraid of, that would be one example. In general, people tend to worry much more about, for example, being the victims of a terrorist attack, despite it being insanely unlikely that any of us would ever be. Doesn't mean some people won't be, but statistically speaking, insanely unlikely, versus things we don't think much about, like getting in a car every day, which is actually a comparatively dangerous thing, given the number of people who die yearly from terrorism in the U.S. versus the number who die in car accidents, or being more afraid of flying than driving in a car, even though the driving in a car is far more dangerous. Okay, so that's one thing, that oftentimes, even though the domestic terror threat is a bigger threat, people think of the idea of often it's dangerous Muslims from the Middle East, or sometimes it would be brown immigrants from Latin America, or whatever the trope of the week, month, or year happens to be. But then number two, you know, there are entire media apparatuses in the United States that are very similar to what we see in other countries radicalize people into what is often referred to in the U.S. as jihadist terror or Islamist terror. We have the equivalent in the United States of these media outlets that spread hate and sow fear and radicalize people. And many Americans don't recognize them as being the sort of domestic equivalents of the stuff that we say, wow, how did these people end up getting radicalized into ISIS, for example? And you look at the media and the internet content. But then we wonder, how did so many people end up getting radicalized to the point where they rioted on January 6th, or they put pipe bombs in Washington, D.C., or whatever the case may be? And then you look at what we have happening on Facebook and OAN, Newsmax, to some degree, Fox News and Alex Jones and so many others. This stuff radicalizes people as well. And it should come as no surprise that when the rubber hits the road, the domestic terror is actually far more of a threat mathematically than the foreign terror. And yet another report from the FBI confirms exactly that. Now, if you think that although the number may be greater, it makes sense because, well, you're in the U.S., so the Americans are already here. That doesn't mean that they're more dangerous on average. There may be more of them. And, you know, if it's 83 versus 80 deaths from terror, the fact that there are more threats doesn't mean that much. I would disagree. The fact that there are that many potential nodes of radicalism and terrorism domestically means that there's way more people who could be activated by the exact type of rhetoric that we've been fighting against. Let me know your thoughts. This is something a little different. I don't think anybody has covered this, okay? Because one of our viewers, Tanner, wrote to me and said, "Hey, David, big fan of the show. After seeing many of the ridiculous responses to mask mandates across the country, I decided to see if this is happening at my local school board. I watched the most recent meeting and was not disappointed. I have attached a video in which a middle school student and her dad both quote Hitler during their anti-mask presentations to the school board. This is really wacky stuff, okay? I'm going to play this for you. This is the Thompson School District. They claim to be the 17th largest school district in Colorado. They claim to have about 15,000 students under their purview. You really have to see this. This is daughter and then dad who quote Hitler in their opposition to masking, and the crowd cheers. It's crazy. This is Charlotte and Thomas. We're starting with Charlotte here. This is very depressing. Let's take a look. And by the way, I apologize about the audio quality. It's very harsh.
Hi, my name is Charlotte Kay. I am from Berthoud. I would like to start my address with a quote from a famous politician. "He alone who owns the youth gains the future."
Okay. The famous politician she's referring to is Adolf Hitler. Just so people know. Quoting Hitler.
"I was a student at Turner Middle School. I say was because I had to leave your school district because of how your teachers were treating. The second week I was there, you made a mask mandate. I did not wear a mask because I have medical conditions that make it so I can't wear masks. And because of that, I was segregated and sent to the library. When I attempted to use my rights to speak freely, I read the 14th and 15th Amendment. My constitution was ripped out of my hand, and when I tried to video what the staff were doing, the teacher took my phone."
I mean, is this, so the sad thing here is, right, all of this language about my rights were taken away, I was trying to cite amendments from the constitution, a kid doesn't come up with this stuff by themselves, and you'll see when the dad comes up exactly where it's coming from. Is this a form of child abuse? I mean, you know, 14th Amendment, granting all persons born and naturalized in the U.S. a guarantee of equal protection. 15th Amendment, the right of citizens to vote shall not be denied or abridged on the basis of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. What masks, guys, come on. And she continues.
"Then, just to make my day even better, the teacher said I was a terrible person and I was a horrible child. Then she told me I was going to kill everyone in the school, and to quote the same politician again, if you tell a big enough lie and tell a freaky enough, it will be believed."
The same politician. That's Adolf Hitler again. She's quoting Hitler.
"You say that you're supposed to keep a student safe and protect us from the big bad bullies. But you and your teachers are bullying me and all those other students in the district. How does that work? A lot of your students left because of those actions. When I tried to show my staff my 504 form, the teachers took it and ripped it to pieces, destroying my property. When I was in school, I had to go home multiple days because I had massive headaches due to the masks. The classroom being above 90 degrees. When I used to love school, but now I don't. You have ruined school for me, and fortunately, it's too late for me. But I will fight for all the other kids in your school district, including my older sister. I hope you're happy now that you ruined my love for school. And one last time, to quote the famous politician, Adolf Hitler, when diplomacy ends, war begins. Thank you for all your consideration."
So quoting Hitler three times there. Now, I'm not making fun of this girl. I see her as a victim. I see her as a victim, probably of this guy, the dad. Okay, here comes the dad. We're going to pick up his comments in progress, as I guess we might say.
When they do teaching, we have a problem. We have a problem when we have board members, family, and friends calling in to further their agenda. That problem starts here. That problem starts with this board. A board who refuses to believe the children when they are mistreated. A board who sold our children into mask mandates for $18 million. How much will it cost to sell our children into mandatory vaccines? What else are you willing to sell our children into? How many children have to be mistreated, abused, or assaulted before the board is willing to look into an incident? Your mission statement is mindless drivel. It is here a lip service to this community that makes you feel good about what you do. I have lost faith in this board, and based on your staff and your actions, you do not have our...
I assume he means he lost faith in the board, not lost face. Losing face is something different.
Children's best interest at heart. With that said, I call for the immediate resignation of everyone on this board.
A lot of resignation. People, just everybody's calling for resignations these days.
We have no confidence in you. We have no trust in you. And you have not shown 1 ounce of diplomacy. And like my daughter said, when there is no diplomacy, there is war.
And even staring down the members of the school board there. So like father, like daughter, both quoting Hitler in their anti-mask screeds. Again, I see the daughter as a victim. And I see this all really, I mean, we can't attack this kid. This kid got the idea of being like this from somewhere, and you see exactly where it came from. This is really sad stuff. And unfortunately, these types of presentations are likely not going away anytime soon. Let me know your thoughts. Find me on Twitter at dpacman. You can submit videos of your local school board meeting if you want to info@davidpacman.com. We'll cover them. Remember that the David Pacman Show is disproportionately funded by folks like you who sign up on our website, get a membership, and I guess just revel in all of the great membership perks that are available. You can sign up at joinpacman.com, and you can use the coupon code BETTER21 to get a big discount. Let's talk to people in the audience. Why not? We do calls now via Discord. You can find us at davidpacman.com/Discord. Join the Discord, almost 15,000 now on the Discord, and we can chat. Let's do it. Let's start today How about Ronnie from New York? You are first on today.
Hey, David, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Hey, I was just curious, are we ever going to see producer Lewis again on the show?
As an employee or just like as a guest appearance?
Maybe just as a guest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he's welcome anytime to my streams. I've even invited him on a couple times, but he's, you know, very tied up with either mowing his lawn or video gaming or different things. So it's hard to find just that perfect time for Lewis to appear. But I had lunch with him yesterday and he's doing well.
Okay.
He's soon going to be shifting over to an electric vehicle, going fully electric. And he's no other news really with Lewis, but he's welcome anytime.
Okay. Well, that's all I had to ask. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ronnie. There's Ronnie from New York with a very strong question. Let's go next to SD from Dallas, Texas. SD, you're on the air.
Hi, David. What is your take on, the states are now making the new maps for all the legislative districts, and I want to know, what's your take so far on the gerrymandering for this coming decade?
I've not read that much about it other than there are some interesting districts that could just be eliminated. Like, for example, Lauren Boebert's district, I guess if the proposed map is accepted, she may just not have a district anymore. I've not, you know, one of the things I'm trying to do is when there's like maybes, let's wait and see if something is happening, unless there's really something specific that could be done to change the course. And with a lot of this, the gerrymandering and district drawing that's being proposed, we're still waiting to see, like, what are the final submissions and are they even really going to be accepted? So I don't know. I mean, what's your take? Is it, are there particularly egregious examples that we should be looking at?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you can look at states like Texas and Ohio. It is, like, absolutely egregious. The state legislature here absolutely murdered the DFW area. But I guess what I was really more looking into is knowing that the gerrymandering is going to be pretty egregious across a lot of these red states, is it worth dropping the principle of no gerrymandering in blue states and just fighting fire with fire at this point?
I know this is always the thing, which is if the Republicans are just going to keep doing it in the states they control, isn't it unilateral disarmament to say, all right, well, we'll draw them fairly in the blue states and then they'll draw them completely unfairly in the red states? I think on this, for as long as these are the rules, Democrats have no choice but to use the system to their advantage when they can, because otherwise we will never even get the opportunity to change how this is done. But the goal has to be to change the system. And then, of course, you get to this question of, are people who got in because of the system we have really going to be motivated to change it? And that's a very legitimate question, which we addressed, I think it was last week on the show. But no, I mean, listen, if Democrats just say, let's draw perfectly square districts everywhere and do everything perfectly, and then Republicans keep doing like their Dan Crenshaw districts, it's one of the most egregious examples of Republicans do, then it just further makes it so that Democrats will never actually be in power and able to really deal with this issue. So it's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Absolutely. Right on, David. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for the call. Very important question. Very important question. There are areas where we say we're not going to stoop to that level because then we are as bad as them. When this is the system, you know, it's sort of like saying, I won't even accept political donations. Okay, well, then we just lose, right? Okay, we have to work to change. We have to do campaign finance reform, but we will never even get that opportunity if everybody on the left is like, I won't even do campaign donations. No, the person who raises more money tends to win. And it's just an unfortunate reality. Let's go next to, let's go to Brody from Dallas. We haven't heard from Brody for a while. What's going on there?
Hey, what's up, David? I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thanks. I wasn't expecting you to call me so quickly. It's good to speak to you again. I had a few questions regarding the infrastructure bill and the midterms. As you probably, and as you reported on and are aware, the Progressive Caucus are seeking to basically get the deal that was agreed to previously, which is the infrastructure and the, both bills moving at the same time. Do you anticipate if it fails, you know, meaning if both bills are not passed at the same time, that the blame is going to be placed on the progressives solely? Do you think it will be blamed on the Democrats? What do you think the fallout will be? And what do you anticipate to happen with that bill?
It really depends on the media coverage between now and whenever that ultimately happens. I think that all of the usual suspects are going to do all of the usual blaming. So Republicans will blame Democrats for crazy bills, too much spending, blah, blah, blah. Centrist Democrats will try to blame the progressive wing. The progressive wing will say centrist Democrats trying to make nice with Republicans is what ultimately. So all the usual suspects will do all the normal blaming. What narrative succeeds is ultimately going to depend on corporate media coverage. And that is unfortunately always the case. But I just think there's no way to know right now. Everybody will attempt to blame exactly who we would expect. But whether that will stick in the minds of people as this is who is to blame, I just don't know yet. It's sort of like when we have this debt ceiling issue. And sometimes the public blames Democrats more. Sometimes they blame Republicans more. Typically, it's just the fault of Republicans, but the media coverage of it is often what determines who gets the blame politically. It's an unfortunate reality, but it is the reality.
And I have one last quick question. Do you think that there'll be any fallout from the debt ceiling argument and posturing with regards to maybe increasing support for changing or carving out the filibuster, or do you think it'll remain the same?
I'm not sure I know what you mean. Whether the filibuster argument will be affected by whether these bills pass?
I'm sorry. On a separate track with McConnell posturing over the debt ceiling and shutting down the government, will that put any impetus in a change on how folks feel about the filibuster, you think?
Sadly, I don't think so. To just keep it short, I don't think so.
Well, thanks, David. It's good to talk to you.
Pleasure. All right. There's Brody from Dallas. Let's go next to Ricky from Charlotte. Is that Charlotte, North Carolina, I presume?
Yes, it is. David, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for taking my call. So I wanted to ask you, I've kind of noticed, it seems to me like the right is better at stigmatizing and demonizing words and certain things that are associated with the left more than the left is. So just to give like an example, for decades, they've worked on demonizing the term socialism, and it's kind of stuck, and all the left-wing sort of economic schools of thought, if you're just a normal person, if you would think that, Marxism is synonymous with genocide or something like that. But I just don't see the left like as doing as good of a job of demonizing a lot of ideas that are associated with the white right. The only example I can think of is we've kind of demonized nationalism, but I kind of see that they're trying to revive that. What do you think?
I completely agree with you, and you're not the only person to notice this. George Lakoff has written about this to some extent. Thomas Frank has written about this. You go back to the very basic framing of, for example, tax relief. Tax relief is evil genius in a sense, right? Well, you relieve people of taxes. Taxes are a burden. It's just taxes burden people. You get rid of taxes, you relieve the burden. That is a completely absurd and myopic framing of the fact that government needs to be able to do things, and we have decided that we don't do, in most places, a private fire department or police department and roads and all these different things. But the term tax relief at a structural level pushes things in favor of the right, and the left has to argue against that. And they've done it with socialism. They've done it with abortion, pro-life. That there are definitely opportunities for the left to win the branding game. One example that this should have started a year and a half ago. These Republicans who are crazy about the pandemic, either they don't want to deal with it in a serious way, whatever, they should start to be called pro-virus, right? They're on the side of the coronavirus. That's the way that it should be framed. And if I'm the only one doing it, it's not going to do anything. But if that had been the framing for a long time, that when they do these things, they are really on the side of the virus, we may have been able to change the trajectory even a little bit of the way that the pandemic was dealt with. I think there are opportunities, but you're completely right that for the most part, the left is not doing well on this issue of naming and framing. Whoops, I accidentally muted you there. What were you saying?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. No, it was my fault. I apologize.
No problem. I was just going to say the one more recent thing that I've noticed, and it's kind of made me mad, that ever since the social justice protest last year,
yep,
a bunch of these boomer Republicans for the first time, heard the term woke, and they've done everything to demonize it, saying that I really hate what's happened to the term, because I think back, it's not a new thing. It's been around for a while, and it was always just about be conscious of. It was about being conscious, know history, understand how the systems work and everything, and don't just always fall for the mainstream narrative. Now, they've effectively demonized it to where it just means anything, that's they'll call any sort of climate change proposal woke or anything
yep.
like this. And I feel like it's effective, and it's just... I hate how we're losing that battle.
It's the exact same thing that happened with the regressive left, where there was a very brief period where regressive left really meant something or someone or an idea that is ostensibly left, but it is actually an authoritarian regressive thing. And for a very short period of time, it actually worked to define and point to something. It then just became bastardized by the right, and anything left they just call regressive. That's it. So yeah, they're winning on all fronts on that, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can win it. But I appreciate you taking my call, David. You have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Great, very important issue. No question about that. Let's go next to Donnie from, is it pronounced Visalia? Visalia? How do you pronounce it?
Visalia.
Visalia. Okay, good. Where is that?
Yeah. It's Central California, Torrance County, about 45 minutes south of Fresno.
Oh, beautiful area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get a hold of you and let you know about, I'm pretty sure that because Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet, and I know I heard stuff about Trump using 17 flags or something like that, but I believe that's why he was always saying the 1917 pandemic was to kind of send a shout out to Q supporters.
Oh, that is fascinating. And let me see if I understand this one. So Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet. Is that true? I'm taking your word for that.
I mean, I haven't personally looked it up, but it was on documentaries that I had seen.
M is the 13th. So NOPQ would make it the 17th. Right. Okay. Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet. I guess, did Trump regularly have 17 American flags on the stage, or was that once?
I had heard that. Well, I don't know. It might've been only once. I had heard that he had did that once, but I believe that's why he kept referring to the 1918 pandemic as the 1917 pandemic.
That's fascinating. I mean, listen,
send a shout out to Q supporters.
It's probably not the case. He's probably just an idiot. And he once said 1917 and then he kept saying it because he can't admit, but that's fascinating. That's a signal to Q, the Q people. That's funny. Yeah, look, you're kind of going in and out there, Donna. Yeah. All right, I'm going to let you go. A very, very funny instinct and suggestion. The connection left a little bit of something to be desired there. Let's go next to Harper from Marseille, France. Harper, you're on the air.
Hello.
I don't think there are... Harper, your connection's atrocious. Oh, and Harper already left. Harper self-selected out, either panicked or realized or got disconnected. Let's try another international call. Let's go to Syed from Bangladesh. Syed, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for, selecting me. I have been, trying to get on your call for a few, I'd say weeks, I guess.
My pleasure.
So, okay. The thing I'm going to ask you, it's not really, it's sort of, your opinion. I would really like to, know what you feel about this. So hear me out.
Sure.
So as you can, completely guess, I am not from America, right? But I can, in a lot of, because of a lot of international, issues and stuff, we end up, listening to our, American politics and, basically international involvements and basically. So during this, pandemic and, the other stuff when I had, much more, time to actually, look through all of the stuff, I have noticed something, very, I would say, surprising in, let's say in America right now. So hear me out on this one. Currently, I can see that, most of the people who are, let's say they are right-wingers, they are religious or whatnot, and they are basically, trying to, they have their own set of ideologies, let's say, and left have their own set of ideologies. And right now, let's say the Muslim populations in the West, they are kind of, in a scenario where they sort of feel like they are in some kind of, political homelessness. That is something that I'm going to say. So let's say, someone is, a practicing, Muslim, let's say, and, he wants to, basically follow, traditional stuff and do religious worshiping and other stuff like that. And, basically, a person like that, you know, oftentimes, you know, like, doesn't get along with, you know, let's say, you know, insane, someone who is, you know, like, very hardcore lefty, right? And then you have, you know, on the other side, the right-wingers who are actually, you know, like, they claim to be religious and, you know, they are, you know, practitioners of mostly Christianity, and then they have problems with, you know, Muslims, right? Yeah. So I have seen this, you know, scenario where, you know, like, Muslims feel in, like, political homelessness and, like, any kind of, I'd say, you know, like, the right-wing people, I'd say that, you know, they're basically shooting themselves in their foot, you know, when they are, you know, doing all this, you know, like, let's say some sort of anti-Muslim stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then they're wondering, yeah, why are we losing?
Right. What do you think I think it's a very astute point. So if you consider the religious Muslim community, you have folks who culturally are really more in line with the religious Christian community, often in terms of the role they want to see religion play in civil government, in terms of cultural norms, in terms of social norms. But Republicans in the United States, they are like that only with regard to Christianity. And sometimes they'll pretend with Judaism as well, although really they're often anti-Semitic, but it's more complicated.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So that's really where the Muslims would find a cultural social home, but the Republicans don't want them. And then on the left, those very same religious Muslims would often say, oh, these folks want secularism. That's not what I want either. And it leaves these folks sort of out in a no man's land. I think it's a very astute analysis, and I think you're completely right, Syed.
I think it is going to, like, let me explain a scenario. Like, I'm going to tell
you
something.
Syed, I have so many people holding. I'm going to let you go now because we've done a good amount today. Call back, okay? But I love the point you made.
Okay.
Very good. All right. Syed from Bangladesh, extraordinarily good point. Let's take a quick break. If you're holding, don't hang up because I'm going right back to the phones in a moment. All right, let's hear from a few more people. We do calls via Discord. You can find the David Pakman Show Discord at davidpakman.com/Discord. Let's, in this next tranche of calls, let's go to Alexander the Texan. Alexander, you were on the air.
Hi, David. I hope you're doing well.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to get your take on something. So I'm seeing with a lot of what I would call the American bad leftists and a lot of the general right wing, two specific stories that they ran really hard on, one of which being allegations of perjury against Anthony Fauci that The Intercept wrote about.
Yep.
The other of which being, excuse me, the current stories about Hunter Biden. Among more of the common sense left-wing channels, I would go as far as to saying it seems like this story is being kind of ignored. I would just like to hear your thoughts on this, please, sir.
Yeah, so I'll go backwards. I mean, with the Hunter Biden stuff, I just don't really get what the story would be for me. So when I see the I follow the right-wing headlines, and I see that, I think it was last week, maybe 5 days ago, a bunch of articles popped up about Hunter Biden's emails again and pictures or whatever. I just don't get what the story is for me. I mean, he's a guy who has struggled in his life. He's not only not the president, but unlike with Trump, because Biden doesn't, you know, have his kids working for him, Hunter's not involved in government. So I just don't really know what the story is, other than just that his last name is Biden and he's Joe Biden's son. So that's why I've not covered that one. Does that make sense?
I think people are complaining about the nepotism, the fact that he was able to get certain jobs or certain things through his dad being the vice president. And it would seem in the emails that have been released that's kind of being corroborated. Now, of course, I'm a simpleton from Texas, so I try to just get smarter people to talk about these things for me to understand, but I'm having a hard time seeing both sides connect on this. It seems that one is saying, look, he's a drug addict, nothing more than the story, and the other side is saying, hey, that's not even the story. The story is actually all of these other things that he was able to do because his dad was vice president.
Yeah, I mean, I think what makes this tough is there's an attempt being made to say that it's just like Ivanka, Don Jr., Eric, and Kushner in terms of getting stuff because his dad was vice president. It sure seems to me not even remotely equivalent. I mean, Trump had his kids working for him. Ivanka was sitting in for Trump once when they were in, was it Japan or I don't even know, Helsinki, I don't remember when, or sat in for the Secretary of State. Like, I think that to some degree, if you're the vice president's kid, there are going to be opportunities for you to do things that will be given to you. And then there's a question as to whether you do something inappropriate or not. And we can sort of explore that. It just seems to be on a different playing field than what Trump was doing with his kids. And the very people obsessed with Hunter said nothing and don't even care about what was going on with Kushner and Ivanka and Don Jr. So it seems a little bit hypocritical to me, I would say.
I can agree with that sentiment. What about the issues around Fauci and the allegations of perjury?
Yeah, I looked at that and just it didn't seem to me that there was credibility to the perjury allegation.
That we weren't funding gain of function research? You think that that wasn't semantics, that that's literally the case, that there was no American funding in any stretch of gain of function research? Do you believe that that's the case?
You know, how can I answer this in the most sort of like a relevant way? I agree with you that there is a semantic component to this in terms of how does an institution define gain of function research and how are Republicans defining it in this war they're waging against Anthony Fauci. So to some sense, it actually, the semantics are sort of like what's relevant here. Let me put it a different way. I have seen no evidence to date that Anthony Fauci was for malicious reasons hiding the nature of what the U.S. was funding, regardless of the name you assigned to it. And I'm willing to have my mind changed about that if someone can show me, no, Fauci was deliberately obfuscating. He knows he was obfuscating. And the spirit of what he was saying, not semantically, but the spirit of what he was saying was wrong. I've not seen evidence of that to date.
Okay, that's very eloquently said, and I very much appreciate your point of view, and thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. Alexander the Texan, I might even call it a perfect phone call, quite frankly. Very glad to exchange ideas on that front. Let's go next to, Greg Peach. Greg Peach from where are you calling in from, Greg? Hello.
Oh, I'm calling from Georgia.
Okay, very good. You're on the air, Greg, and there's music in the background. There's wind chimes. There's many different things happening.
Yeah, I just want you to have a pleasant experience on this call with me, David.
Thank you. No, the wind chimes are relaxing. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a question for you. So do you still believe that there's a population of people that will hear that Joe Biden doesn't want them to get vaccinated and will go and get vaccinated out of spite?
You're saying if they came to believe that Joe Biden like didn't want Republicans vaccinated, they would be like, I'll show him. I'm going to go and get vaccinated. You're asking if I think those people exist.
Yeah, and you've mentioned this before on your show, so if I didn't, I'm basically asking if what you mentioned before on your show is still a belief you have.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a little more complicated than if Joe Biden said it. If there was a narrative that Joe Biden was going to take away the vaccine from right wingers after a certain date, like, I know it's crazy, right? It would never happen, but if a large portion of the right came to believe that, I think many of them would rush out to get vaccinated just to spite Joe Biden, for sure.
Okay, so my follow-up to that is, as somebody with a widely seen news show, do you have a moral imperative to make fake news to spread that narrative to save lives?
It's a beautiful question. I think that it would be wrong for me to unilaterally start spreading that. And I can't actually articulate why, but one of the things that I try to do on this show is never to lie to my audience about my beliefs. And so it fundamentally would go against my approach to say something on the air that I don't believe to be true, specifically to trick people into doing something. And you're right that I might be doing it with the intention of saving lives by getting people vaccinated, but it's one of those principles that I just can't really get over the hump and say, I'm going to lie. I'm going to say things on the show I know to be a lie.
Okay, great. That's my question. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Greg P. Now, if people disagree with me, if people think, no, I in that situation, I should be making an exception. I should be lying to my audience because of the objective. It's a means to an end. Let me know. I think that that would be certainly interesting for sure. Let's go to John from, is it Leicester or Leicester?
It's Leicester. You got it right the first time. Like,
Leicester, fair play. I suspected.
You say that as well. I was like, Yankees are going to get it wrong. But that's fair, like, you know.
Thank you.
My question is pretty, like, I don't know, like, grounded. Like, nice listening to the audience, being nice to you. But I guess, how are you doing? Because, like, I guess, I don't know, I watch the American news vicariously through you and some other sources as well. Not to balance it, just because I like the way they talk. And I don't know, it's messed up, man. I mean, I'm
sorry,
from the UK.
You're cutting out a little bit. Are you saying, did you say, are things messed up here?
Yeah, like, I guess, like, more interested about how you're doing with it all, because it seems like, I don't know, I guess from my perspective of dealing with the crap that's going on in Britain,
yeah,
it's quite distressing, like, you know? And,
oh, I see what you're saying.
I don't know.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I've talked about maintaining a healthier media diet and balance, and so, like, basically for 3 full days a week, I'm tuning out of the news altogether. And I'm just, you know, I'm doing my biking, I'm doing my running, I'm reading, you know, doing other stuff. I think it particularly when there is so much craziness going on, really important to get a break. And that's, I would consider it a mental health break from the substance that I normally consume for my job. That's my approach.
Oh, nice. That's good. That's fair. That's all my question was, man. You know, that's good to hear you're taking care of yourself, though.
Thank you. And things are okay in Leicester?
I mean, I don't know. I've been in lockdown for like a year and a bit. It's not too bad. Yeah, you stressed
it
a lot.
Hold on. What does it mean that you're in lockdown? Do you go to the grocery store?
Well, now we do. But like I'd say for the start of COVID, no. Like it was basically like you go to the shop and then you come back and then you just live at home.
Okay.
I got to go outside, actually. That's not fair to say. I work in the NHS, so I had to go outside. But literally for about a year and maybe a bit, we've been living indoors, which is fun.
And are you going to restaurants or pubs and sitting outside, for example?
First time I went to a pub was last weekend.
Okay. So you're no longer in lockdown, March. I guess, is what you're saying.
No, but it's like a semi-lockdown. It's weird. Like, for example, at work, I still have to wear a mask. If I visit people at home, I wear a mask. But yep. If I go outside to the shops, I don't wear a mask. It's my choice, but I still wear a mask.
Got it. Got it. All right. Very good, John. I appreciate the call.
No worries, man. You take care.
All right. There we go. Beautiful, pleasant phone call from Leicester. It looks like it would be Leicester, but it's not. I learned that many years ago. A lot of people won't tell you that, but I will on this program. I appreciate everybody who called in. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to every call, but we will take calls again, my friends. Thank you. All right, let's get into the mail bag with a couple bonus comments and Facebook messages this week. We tried this segment sort of on a whim a few weeks ago, and people are loving it. And the number of emails coming in has gone up dramatically. More people have a lot of things to say. But the reaction also, people are really getting interested by the things that people are writing. So let's just go right to it. Remember, you can send me an email, info@davidpakman.com. Please don't send 20 emails. If you do, they're going to get auto-deleted. So just be reasonable, okay, guys? If you're sending me 20 emails in a day or two, We're probably not getting them because you've probably been blocked, my friends. Okay, first message is from Tom about the VAERS system. That's the vaccine reporting system. Tom says, "Hi, David. I recently looked into the VAERS website and was stunned to find that individuals are allowed to very easily report whatever they want at any given time. I downloaded the Gab app to keep up on MAGA trends, and they all seem to be very aware of the acronym VAERS, but it appears as though only the influencers on the right know how unreliable the data actually is. They have begun and probably have in the past used it to make wild claims. It's disgusting and disheartening. I look forward to hearing your take. Thank you, Tom." Yeah, I've said this before. You can report anything you want to the VAERS system, and then that data is used by right-wingers to say, look at all these reports, never mentioning you can report anything. Now, last time I mentioned this, someone wrote to me and they said, "David, sir, you know, it's a crime to falsely report." Okay, that's fine. Are we hearing about anybody getting in trouble for false reports? There's every indication there are endless false reports. It should be mentioned. Very, very important. Kevin from Toronto wrote to me. And this is about our story about Amazon now pushing for cannabis legalization. We said, what's the game here? Kevin says, "Hey, David, the thing I thought of immediately just hearing the headline that Amazon is pushing for cannabis legalization is that Amazon could make a lot of money selling and distributing it. Cannabis is lightweight, very easy to ship, and many retailers and producers would surely use an Amazon store if it was allowed. Especially the rapid shipping options would be very desirable for cannabis customers." I agree 100%. I think, you know, Amazon was very clear about a lot of this has to do with just smoothing out the hiring by eliminating cannabis as an obstacle, which maybe makes sense, but at the same time, they could just say, we don't care about cannabis use, regardless of its legality. There may be an e-commerce opportunity there that Amazon is interested in. Many people writing in with that exact same point of view. Helen wrote in and says, "Just a thought. When you talk about governors and their stance on vaccines, please mention whether they themselves are vaccinated. I think that when we know, that's a great idea. I'm not sure if we know the vaccination status of all 50 governors, but if we do a story about such governor just came out against vaccine mandates, I think it's perfectly reasonable to add, and by the way, this governor is vaccinated, or this governor is unvaccinated if we know it." Very good idea. Brent wrote in, this is another one of those where I start wondering, am I just terrible at communicating information to my audience? Are people really misunderstanding? Last week, we did a segment about the lie that thousands of people are dying from the vaccine, that the vaccine is causing death. Brent wrote to me saying, "David, vaccinated people are dying from COVID." Let's look at the email. "David, you do a disservice when you say there are no deaths among vaccinated people. Granted, they are rare. I know two vaccinated persons who have died. There are reports from the US and UK of fully vaccinated people dying. Fully vaccinated people are dying with variants beyond Delta. The anti-vax people are crazy, but you sound just as delusional when you suggest there are no vaccinated deaths." Again, I never said that. I said that there is no evidence the vaccines are the cause of death. Of course, we know of breakthrough infections, and although it's a very small percentage of what we might call a breakthrough death, but please try to react to what I'm actually saying rather than what maybe you hope I'm saying or whatever the case may be. I never denied vaccinated people died. What I said is the idea that thousands, tens of thousands, or hundreds of thousands of people are dying from the vaccine is not backed up by any facts, by any evidence that we are actually seeing. Andrew wrote in. Andrew says, "Just you wait." Oh, I can't tell if this is a joke. This is not someone that has written to us before. I can't tell if this is satire. Andrew wrote, "Just you wait. Sirs, you guys are having a great time mocking Donald Trump, but just you wait until he unveils Obamagate. Then you will be laughing out of the other side of your faces. It's the biggest political scandal in the history of the U.S., perhaps the biggest in all of history." No, really, you'll see, Andrew. I think this is satire. the use of sirs, as well as no, really, you'll see, and extraneous exclamation points, including double exclamation points. I think this is a satirist who is just kidding around, and they're not really telling us to wait for Obamagate. John from Jefferson City, Missouri, wrote in and says, good day, sir. Just curious about whether statistics have been collected to determine the percentage of Democrat versus Republican that have died from COVID-19. This is a fantastic question. Why? I don't know. No, this is a fantastic question because we've been saying for a while, as blue states get more vaccinated and red states lag behind, as Republicans remain one of the most anti-vaccine groups in the country, at some point, you would imagine, the virus will kill more Republicans than Democrats. I believe we are already at that point in time. Earlier this week on the Tuesday show, we looked at a chart that looked at per capita deaths over the last few weeks compared to 2020 voting. And what we saw was that the heaviest Biden states, places like Vermont, Massachusetts, etc., have the lowest per capita death rate. The biggest Trump states, Mississippi, Alabama, etc., have the highest per capita death rate over the last month. This leads me to believe we are already seeing a skew. COVID is killing more American Republicans than American Democrats. Is it enough to make a difference in elections? We don't know yet. Could it be make or break in any particular race? It's too early to say, and maybe not. But my guess would be, when we see COVID killing more people per capita in Alabama than Massachusetts or in Mississippi than in Vermont, I would guess that the data would bear out. It's not just people in those states dying. It's overwhelmingly and disproportionately Republicans in those states dying. And if you have more Republicans in a certain state, you would imagine that it's disproportionately Republicans over Democrats as well. But a very, very good question, and it probably is increasingly already a Republican virus. Here's a couple bonus. Here is John Lemon from YouTube who says, so I blame you, Mr. Pacman, for the deaths of 15,000 Americans that have died from taking the vaccine. Here's an example of a vaccine deather, as we would call them. You are a sick, deranged person who is making big money off of Big Pharma to say what you say. Prove it. This has come up a dozen times. Why would anyone pay me to talk about a vaccine? We're meaningless in the grand scheme of things. Even if there was the volition to do that, why would anyone give me money to talk about I got vaccinated and it seems to be a good thing to do? John Lemon goes on to say, I bet also the deep state and China are paying you off. You are a disgrace to this country. Very, very sick individual. Very sick individual. Not even worth refuting them on the merits. It's just, you know, you guys know this stuff is around. That is another virus that is spreading. John Smith wrote in response to our announcement of 1 billion YouTube views. John Smith wrote back, 1 billion idiots? See the Durham report? Yeah. Looks like the Democrats were the ones spreading the Trump-Russia BS. Hillary herself knew, can't wait for more indictments. This is someone who still thinks Hillary's going to prison. This will be very big, but Trump, he was right with being spied on, Russia hoax, election fraud next. The syntax is tough here. John Smith goes on. How about you? Did you doing any reporting on Trump and Russia collusion? I bet Trump's lawyers are at work getting ready to start libility lawsuits. He was slandered, investigated how many times? Schiff, Cuomo at CNN and CNN. To get this so wrong by the media, I hope he's compensated. That is really tough to get through. John finishing his email to me, his love letter, by saying, one of these days you will appreciate Trump, the president, and what he did in 4 years is remarkable. Don't hold your breath, John. And then lastly, an extra special bonus in this week's mailbag. This one coming in very early this morning, 5:20 a.m. via Facebook. You are a worthless piece of SHT peace spelled like world peace. It's a ho like you that are, it's by the way, the wrong it's, that are destroying my country. Take your effing arse back to your own country. I'm an American citizen. Or re-educate your regurgitated garbage. This is really, really weaponized stuff. And the prototypical example of, you're not going to sit down with this person. I'm going to say this guy. Almost everyone who sends stuff like this is male. You're not going to sit down with this guy and have a rational conversation and get him to say, you know what, right? I was wrong. You were right. I'm glad that you explained things to me the way they are. It's just not happening. And so it gets us once again to the question of, how do you deprogram that? How do you do it? I don't have the answer, but we've talked with a lot of people who claim to have some ideas. They say the only answer is long term of building relationships with these folks. I don't have the stomach for it, I think is the way I would say. And I know many of you have folks like these in your family. I'm sorry to hear that. We've got a great bonus show for you today. Sign up at joinpacman.com. You'll get instant access. And you can email me info@davidpacman.com. Keep it nice. Keep it nice. Give me something productive. We'll see you on the...
This is Danny Glover, and you're listening to 88.3 FM WRCT Pittsburgh.
Hello, this is Adam Clayton here, the bass player from U2. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
Hey, this is Steve Archer.
And Donna Lynch.
From Ego Likeness, you're listening to WRCT Radio.
No, it's E. Dwayto from the Love Dogs, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Hey, this is Ben Foles, and you're listening to WRCT. It's 2 for Tuesday, 3 for Thursday, Ladies Night Wet T-Shirt Contest on 88.3 FM, biatch.
Thank you.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
WRCT Pittsburgh, music for your inner robot.
WRCT Pittsburgh, we won't respect you in the morning.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Hi, you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, home of... Oh, crap. We're not really home of anything, are we, Andrew?
From New York, Rock Raider.
Yeah, yeah, 1-2, Total Eclipse.
From Executioners, and we chilling on WRCT.
Word up, Pittsburgh representing 88.3 FM.
Check it out,
dial. Aight, peace.
Yo, there's only 6 degrees of separation, and we know 5 people you know. How much longer did you really think you could avoid strict flow? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. Like this!
Top Dog in Pittsburgh, WRCT.
Senator John McCain, and I'm from Arizona. But when I'm in Pittsburgh, I always listen to WRCT, one of the finest stations in all of radio. And Carnegie Mellon University is one of the finest academic institutions in our country. Be sure at your next election to vote early and vote often.
I'm Fear the Deliberate Stranger, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
This is Satan. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
Hi there. This is MC Honky, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
WRCT is on AOL Instant Messenger. Our screen name is WRCT883. Send us a shout-out so we can make fun of your atrocious spelling. Send us a request. Send us anything. We're bored. WRCT. 88.3 FM on your radio, WRCT.org on the internet, and now WRCT883 on AOL Instant Messenger. In the language of the kids today, we're the bomb. That's right, isn't it? That's what the kids say. We're the bomb, correct? Okay.
Hey, we're the 1985, and whenever we're in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we like to pick up 13-year-old runaways at the Greyhound station and listen to WRCT! Woo!
WRCT Pittsburgh.
The last bastion of pulchritude.
Is Mark G. of the Evolution Control Committee, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, where the drunken pants are going wild.
We'll give you total control over our lives. Everyone shuts the hell up.
We're Hydra! WRCT! Pittsburgh!
You're listening to WRCT, friends of the FCC. Good friends, good times, and eggnog.
WRCT Pittsburgh. No one is as excited about flaming cheese as we are.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This year alone, we have seen nearly 600 restrictions introduced in 47 states. So no matter where you live, no matter where you are, this fight is at your doorstep right now.
Bans off our bodies. Thousands marched Saturday in more than 600 demonstrations across the United States in a national day of action to protect abortion rights and protest Texas's near total ban on abortions. We'll speak to Planned Parenthood President Alexis McGill Johnson, plus hear moving testimony of Congressmembers Pramila Jayapal, Barbara Lee, and Cori Bush sharing their personal stories about having an abortion.
So to all the black women and girls who have had abortions and will have abortions, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We live in a society that has failed to legislate love and justice for us. So we deserve better. We demand better. We are worthy of better.
Plus, we hear Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg and Ugandan climate activist Vanessa Nakate speaking at a UN climate event in Milan, Italy.
Historically, Africa is responsible for only 3% of global emissions. And yet Africans are already suffering some of the most brutal impacts fueled by the climate crisis.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Hundreds of rallies took place across the United States Saturday amidst a mounting assault on reproductive rights. The protests and marches came 1 month after Texas' near-total ban on abortions went into effect. This is a demonstrator in Austin, Texas.
They've been trying to fight Roe v. Wade for nearly 50 years now. And I'll be honest, when it happened, I thought, the Supreme Court's going to have to knock it down again. And when they didn't, it was, we have to fight. It just goes to show why elections matter. And so we have to get back out of the streets and we have to march and we have to organize and we have to fight.
A federal judge in Texas is now considering arguments from the Justice Department over whether to suspend the Texas ban while courts consider its legality. After headlines were hill clips of Saturday's nationwide protests, and speak with Alexis McGill Johnson, president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. The U.S. has surpassed 700,000 confirmed COVID-19 deaths. The official death toll is by far the highest in the world, even though the U.S. has had widespread access to life-saving vaccines for months. In brighter news, the summer's devastating surge fueled by the Delta variant slowing down, though some northern states are still reporting rising cases. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom announced the first in the nation COVID vaccine mandate for K-12 students. The mandate takes effect as early as next fall and after regulators approve its use in all affected age groups. Meanwhile, the New York City teacher vaccine mandate goes into effect today. The city said 93% of teachers have now received at least one dose. On Friday, Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor denied an emergency appeal by a group of educators who were seeking to halt the vaccine mandate while their lawsuit against the order plays out in court. In Southern California, an oil pipeline ruptured off the coast of Huntington Beach Saturday, causing a massive spill that fouled beaches and wetlands with more than 125,000 gallons of oil. Huntington Beach Mayor Kim Carr called the disaster one of the most devastating situations faced by the community in decades.
The company responsible for this oil spill, which we understand to be Beta Offshore, a California subsidiary of Houston-based Amplify Energy Corporation, is working on the cleanup effort as well. In the coming days and weeks, we challenge the responsible parties to do everything possible to rectify this environmental catastrophe.
Dead birds and marine